Good morning, Five Stones. Yeah. I trust that everybody is awake today. Yeah. I'm a little tired, so. Yeah, I'm actually subbing in for Pastor John. Pastor John's a little sick. He's apparently having some fevers and stuff. So pray for him that he'll recover quick and that he'll be well. And actually, both his kids are down too. So, now only one left standing. Yeah, Steph. So pray for the family. Yeah. So today I'm going to continue on talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, and our focus is on the topic of faithfulness. The fruit of faithfulness. So today. Before we go on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great time of just coming together and coming together as a family, coming together as your children, coming together to hear your words, to hear the scriptures being spoken and to come alive in our hearts and the spirit. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us. Pray for your Holy Spirit to give us a heart to really listen and to really center into your purposes. So Jesus, we pray for your Spirit to really guide us as we enter into this time of this encountering you in your word. Father, we also pray for those among us who are not feeling well right now, and we seem to be battling all kinds of viruses and colds and stuff, and we ask that you would heal all of us who are battling all of these things, and ask that your healing power will be present. Father, we also lift up Pastor John and his family to you. Ask that you would watch over them and bring them back to us intact and all good. So we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for all these things, and we ask that you would continue to walk with us as we listen to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today we talk about faithfulness. Now, what is faithfulness? I looked it up in the Greek lexicon. Is there, what is the what's faithfulness? So faithfulness is the word comes from the Greek word pistis. For the believer, it is God's divine persuasion, God's divine gifted by God. It's not of human origin, so you can't. It's not human generated. It's not human. It's a gift from God, and therefore distinct from human belief, confidence, and yet involving it. So when it comes to how the Spirit works in our hearts and our lives, it is all about us knowing that God has done it. God has gifted us out of pure grace, out of his pure love, gifted us this fantastic presence of his Spirit in our lives. So what do we do? We cooperate. We listen. We get involved in that. And he asked us to really take part, be partakers, to get into his life. So he doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to receive his Spirit. He wants us just to involve our hearts and to receive. And part of that is that, so when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, it is God giving us his Spirit, and what do we know about his character? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those things, right? And we are receiving it as a gift, and then we are practicing it. And we show off that we are truly Christians when we are receiving. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all they've done for us. It's all pure grace, and we're just now responding. with love, with joy, the fruit of it, right? The joy and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. So today we're going to focus in on that aspect of faithfulness. So, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, you know who Jerry Seinfeld is, right? Some of you, yeah. Some of you grew up among that sitcom Seinfeld, you would know who he is. And he says this, having a two-year-old is like having a blender that you don't have a top for. You know, life is messy. Life is really messy. And church life is kind of like that, having a two-year-old. Yeah, like having a two-year-old with a blender with no top on it. And that was the condition of the church when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. It was messy. The church was messed up. And so when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit, he's really talking about, hey, church that is messed up, this is what God is supposed to look like. This is the characteristics of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But what's happening is the works of the flesh that's in the church. So all kinds of crazy things are going on. And so in the Galatian church, one of the messiest things that was happening at that time, one of the messiest things was the whole aspect of there was some people from the Jewish background who came to the church and started to introduce things that are more of the Jewish culture and more of the Jewish background kind of stuff. So it brought in the rite of circumcision. And so they started to talk about, hey, you know, the way to God is you gotta please God. How? By becoming like us Jews who have, you know, circumcision and stuff like that. So things got messy when Paul writes back to the Galatian church and says, you know, that's not the way things are supposed to be. So as we look at the next slide here, certain men came from James. Now, Peter at one time he was downright okay with being with the Gentiles and so on, because if you read Acts chapter 15, you know that there was the Jerusalem Council, and what happened was they all debated about how are we going to integrate the Gentiles, the non-Jews into a basically a Jewish faith, which is what Jesus is all about. Jesus was speaking to the Jews and so on, but now it says, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Bring everybody in, right? Bring everybody in, all the nations, according to the Old Testament scriptures. All the nations will be blessed through Abraham. So how are we going to bring, they were debating in Acts chapter 15, how are we going to bring all this, you know, people who don't look like us, who dress differently, who perhaps speak in a different dialect and so on. How are we going to bring them all in to the church and in the Jerusalem Council? They debated that and said, you know what? And Peter was there saying, he rose up and said, hey, you know what? If you look at what has happened from before Acts chapter 15, the Holy Spirit has come upon the Gentiles. Just like the Holy Spirit has come upon us Jews. Seems like God did not require them to get circumcised before the Holy Spirit came upon them. So what are we going to do now? Are we just going to force them to become like us? Or do we believe that God is so generous, so good, so kind, that all the nations now get to have the Holy Spirit? And as they debated that, they decided, yes, they don't have to be Jews. You know, all that they require is that maybe they look after the poor and the orphan and the widows and stuff like that. But beyond that, Seems like the Holy Spirit has been given to everybody, whether you're a Jew or not Jew. So, Jerusalem Council, what happened? Peter was there, he was eating. No, sorry, back. he was eating with the Gentiles, he was good with that. But then he, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 12, here Paul was talking about this whole aspect of those Jews coming in and then they're imposing all these rules and all these regulations about how to become good followers of God. And then he started to withdraw himself, started to not eat with them, separate himself. Why? Because he was fearing the circumcision party. So I was like, whoa. And that is the moment where the Apostle Paul is like, you know, what is going on? Didn't we discuss about this in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council? Didn't we say, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles, they all can come together without the Gentiles becoming Jews, right? Without the Gentiles becoming like all the Jewish believers. And but here, suddenly he kind of backtracked, right? Backtrack and facepalm moment, right? And here is this faithlessness is happening here. Didn't God bless the Gentiles? Didn't God give the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles too? Right? Isn't that what the Holy Scriptures have been teaching? Right from Abraham, when Abraham believed God and God gave him God's righteousness. And that was even before the nation of Israel, you know, became the nation of Israel. Didn't God choose him to be a blessing to all the nations? Isn't that what the Scriptures taught? And isn't what the Scriptures have been speaking from generations and generations? And suddenly you're trying to divide, you're trying to say, God did not give his grace, his good gifts to the Gentiles. So here is this faithlessness that came up. So when the Apostle Paul wrote about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faithfulness, he's talking about being what? To have the divine persuasion, to have the idea that this is the gift of God that's been given already, to be fully persuaded that God, through the Scriptures, has always wanted to bless all the nations of the whole world, not just little Israel. And God chose little Israel to show his kindness and to be let them become the beacon, the light to all the nations. That's why when Jesus came around in Matthew chapter 5, he looked around speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's speaking to all these Jewish people here. And he's looking down from the Sermon on the Mount and says, you know what you guys are? You are the salt of the earth. You are a light to the world. You are that kind of people. And he's speaking to people who are under the thumb of the Roman Empire, right? And speaking, you know what? You are the ones that will make the empire shake. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light, not Rome. And he's speaking to people who are downright downtrodden, right? Here are the oppressed folks who have nothing. That's why Jesus spoke to them and said, blessed are you when you are poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you mourn, you have faced loss. Blessed are you. So this is what the good life looks like. Blessed are you when you're hungering and thirsting for this justice, for this righteousness, for you will be filled. Blessed are you. God gives his good gifts. And then he tells them, if you have faith, you know what happens? You will be that. You are, actually. You are that salt. You are that. And in the ancient days, salt is used for what? Preservation, right? You will preserve the earth. You will be the ones that God will use to bring life, to bring to bring his goodness. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the one who will light the way. You are the city on the hill. You are the one that will shine the light of God like a city on a hill where everybody will see that God is alive through you. So here is this faithlessness now showing up in the book of Galatians. Peter separating himself. He's not being a light. Peter and this Jewish Judaizers, as some call them, the Judaizers, come around and say, we're excluding you now. You're not the city on the hill anymore. You're not the salt anymore. We're excluding you. We're dividing. So as we look at the next slide here, what's happening here? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Guess what's happening in the Galatian church, right? Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry. This is all happening now. All because of what? The Judaizers, the ones who want to force people, the non-Gentiles, to become Jews. They say, hey, you guys are second class here. We are the elite believers. And the elite believers go for what? Circumcision. I mean, we go for cutting off the flesh, right? We go for that. And they're bringing strife, jealousy, and fits of anger. So, and people were getting offended in church, like, what? Do we have to be Jews and stuff like that? And rivalries and stuff. Dissensions and division. Creating division now. Here's the top class of what believers look like, and here's the second class, the non-Jews. And so this, the works of the flesh, that's why Paul wrote about all these things, to point to the Galatian church. You guys are in error. You're bringing strife. You're bringing jealousy. You're bringing rivalry. You're bringing all these things again. When God says all, everybody is blessed with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ is now part of his work of blessing all the nations of the world. And yet, division was created. So this is messy. This is like that blender for the two-year-old, right? Poof, all kinds of stuff start coming up. And this faithlessness is because they've stopped seeing the big picture. And what is the big picture? Let's have a look here. It is called the new creation. Next slide. So here we see, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. It's not Jew or being non-Jew. That's not the real thing here. What counts is what? According to Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, Paul writes this. What counts is? The word starts with N and C, right? New creation. That is what counts. Now, you say, what in the world is new creation? what does Paul mean when he's talking about new creation? So let's look at the next slide here. New creation is this. It's the plan for the fullness of time to do what? To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on. This is the plan. This is the mystery of God's will that he has set forth in Jesus. And it is to sum up all things in Jesus. And summing up all things means everybody, right? Jew, Gentile, everybody. All of things from heaven and on earth. And there's a reference here to in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. The whole phrase here. Going back to the old creation, and then using that phrase to talk about this is a brand new thing that God is doing. There will be a new creation. And when there's a new creation, what happens? Everything that is broken, everything that is of injustice, everything that is everything else, everything will be finished and done with, and all things will be summed up in Christ. And at the fullness of time, to unite all things. And when you bring division in, when you bring, say, oh, we gotta have one class of believers here and another class of believers here, and Jews here and non-Jews here, you forgot the big picture, right? The big picture. What's God after? What is the Spirit's leading us to? What is? So that's why I'm so excited about Five Stones. You know, when we see here people of all colors, people of all backgrounds, and so on. This is a picture now, a picture of what God is doing, a picture of new creation. This is what God is doing, bringing all things together, summing up all things in Christ Jesus. So this is the new creation. So as we look at the next slide here, talking about the Jew and Gentile conflict, which is so prevalent at that time when the New Testament was written. So it's in that area of conflict, it says that for through him, we both, the Jew and the non-Jew, have access in one spirit to the Father. So this is talking about the new creation stuff that's going on here. And so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. So again, this is a reference back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, if you read it according to the way Moses wrote it, it is supposed to be the heavenly temple. The universe is supposed to be a whole huge temple of God, where God walks with his presence with his people. And God is with his people. God is in the book of Genesis, talk about, if you remember, it says at reference to the temple is all about, if you remember, it says, on the sixth day, what happens? On the sixth day, God created man and woman in his image. Now, how do we get this thinking about the universe, the cosmic temple? It's because in the image of God, when is the last, if you think about constructing of temples in the ancient times, as you build a temple, what's the last thing you put into a temple? Is that idol? Is that image? Right? Statue that reflects the God that isn't there? So when Genesis was written, it has that ancient thinking behind that. Here is the temple of God being constructed, and on the sixth day, the last thing you put in is the image. The temple was finished. The temple is constructed. So with this reference here, in him, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple, is referring back to the sense of the temple of God going back to the Garden of Eden, going back to paradise that was lost. Now it's now going to be found again. And this new temple will have what? The people of God in there. And we'll have what? We will have God walking with them. We'll have in him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place, into a dwelling place for God. And this is what the Spirit is doing. So when you begin to introduce strife, hostility, enmity, jealousy, rivalry, and all that kind of stuff that's happening with the Galatian church, what you're introducing is, I no longer believe in the new creation. I no longer believe the Spirit's work. I no longer believe that God is constructing this temple with everybody coming in together. All nations will be here. that I no longer believe that Jesus broke down the barriers, that there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, that everyone gets the Holy Spirit, that everyone will be the dwelling place of God by the Spirit. So this faithlessness, they don't believe this divine persuasion anymore when you're practicing division. So as we look at this text, it is really such a wonderful thing, isn't it? When we think about, hey, you know, this is the end game here. This is what God is doing, bringing everybody in, loving everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for this purpose, so that everybody gets into the good graces of God. Everybody can get this gift of God. It should be a time of celebration, right? It should be a time of, hey, let's party on, man. This is what God is doing. Let's get excited. Wow. Again, God is doing something awesome here. Instead, they say, look on, hey, are you circumcised? You know, it was like, what? That's so not right. That's so different from what God, hey, let me see. are you circumcised? You know, like, what? This face palm, right? Face palm moment. It's like, what in the world? We got new creation here. And you guys are talking about what? You know, like, sheesh. You know, like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like craziness. This is stupid, right? And that's why the Apostle Paul, if you reading the book of Galatians, he actually called them that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, you know what it says? You foolish Galatians. You know, like, you foolish Galatians. And I looked it up in the Greek lexicon and said, I'm kind of curious, why does he use the word foolish here? If you look it up and you find that, hey, it's... No, let me check my notes here. Make sure I got it right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It says here, it actually means properly non-thinking. Yeah. Yeah. It says here that means not reasoning through a matter, being mindless, dense behavior. You know, have this mindless, dense denseness about them. And then in brackets, just... In the lexicon, it says, just plain stupid. Yeah. just plain stupid. You foolish Galatians, what are you guys doing? Introducing division, introducing circumcision, when there's new creation to be celebrated, and everybody's supposed to get in with the Holy Spirit, right? Everybody gets the Holy Spirit. Everybody who believes in Jesus. This is what's happening here. And you guys are talking about... yeah, you know, like, oh. And that is the story perhaps if you remember John chapter 5, there was a story of Jesus healing an invalid, right? If you remember the story, it says that there was this invalid who's about who was at the pool of Bethesda, right? And what happens is that this invalid, this guy who's been sick for 38 years, been lying there at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Can you imagine, you know, like, what that's going to look like, you know, 38 years? And apparently he has a mattress there too, like he's been lying there for 38 years, like invalid. Why is he lying there at the pool of Bethesda? Because he was looking for healing, actually, right? He was looking for. There was a legend, apparently. If you're at the pool of Bethesda, just like today, you know, like, if you go to this, you know, really spanking, fantastic hot place, you know, called a spa, and then you go there and you dip in the pool, you're gonna be healthy and great and wonderful. Well, in those days, there was this pool of Bethesda. There was this legend that was going around. You know, when the water in that pool is stirred, apparently stirred by an angel or something, if you, at that moment when you go and dip yourself in there, you're going to get healed. And when the water is stirred, right? And that was the legend. So that the invalid's been kind of waiting for that to happen. And Jesus came around in John chapter 5 and says, okay, do you want to be healed? Jesus said to the invalid, do you want to be healed? Well, the invalid would say, you know, I've been waiting here for, 38 years, and I've been, and because he's so sickly, there were other people around who always beat him to when the water is stirred. Say, I never get there because I'm so sick. I just lay there. By the time I get off my feet and get there, already there's like 100 people in front of me. What am I going to do? And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? He tells this story instead of saying, yes, I want to be healed. You know, he says, I can't even get there. It's like, those guys always beat me to it, right? So it was this happening. And the next thing you know, Jesus says to the invalid, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And guess what happened? He got healed, right? He got up, he took off his bed and walked. But the thing is, according to the story here in John chapter 5, it was the Sabbath day. Ooh. What does that mean? This guy took up the mattress. In those days, it is not, the lightweight mattress that we have, right? Where, it's made of foam and nice and comfortable. It's like probably made of straw, pretty heavy. So you require a lot of muscle, right, to lift that thing up. So he took up his mattress and walked. It was Sabbath day. You're not supposed to take up any kind of work. You're not supposed to do any work. Taking up a mattress and walk, that is breaking the rules of the Sabbath. And so what happened? When the Jews around said, hey, what are you doing? You taking up your mattress and walk. You're breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus, you healed on the Sabbath. That's work. You're not supposed to do any healing work. And for goodness sake, these people are all saying, what are you doing? Don't you see what's happening? This new creation stuff that's happening here. This new creation stuff, people are being restored. Shouldn't you be like, hey, man, let's party, hey, man, look at what God is doing. Instead, they're looking at what? He broke the law, he broke the Sabbath rule. They're focusing on what? He picked up his mat and walked. That's what they're focusing on. Yeah, this, here is life bouncing around you, and you're talking about a mattress, right? And you're talking about, can't see that Jesus is actually fulfilling the Sabbath, bringing restoration. So today, I trust that we will look at faithfulness is being faithful to what God is doing, to be divinely persuaded that we are all in this together because of His good grace, His good gift, salvation in His name, and we all have the Holy Spirit if we trust Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. If we make that decision already to say, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, you know what? According to the scriptures, you have the Spirit. And as Alex reminded me this morning, once again, we got to activate the Spirit in our hearts, in our lives. We got to start showing that fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Practice it. Do it. And faithfulness, the word pistis, in the Greek, calls us to that, to have faith to believe once again, to have trust that God is doing something new. And so all we need to do is do what? Celebrate that. Really celebrate that. Rather than, hey, look at the mattress. Oh, what? No, hey, you know, oh, you've broken the protocol here. Let's look at the church bylaws here. Come on, you know, like, whoa. Come on. Come on, people, right? Things. Losing sight, losing focus, losing the big picture of the new creation that God is doing. So the question I have, are we stuck in the mud as well? You know, like we're looking and saying, oh, let's see if I pass the test of being a Christian here. Let's look at these rules, this whole bunch of rules that I made up in my life. I got to wake up at 4 in the morning, and then I have to pray, you know, like I have to, then I have to tithe. I have to. Instead of breaking out in joy, saying, whoa, what God is doing here? I'm so excited. I can't hide it, right? it should be showing off the fruit of the Spirit instead of, oh man, I'm so, maybe some of us, I have to admit, I'm there too. And I also got out of bed today, so tired. Yeah, but you know what? It's got to get the big picture again. What's the big picture? New creation. It's not circumcision nor uncircumcision that counts anymore. It's not being a Jew or a non-Jew. It's not being all those rules and regulations. It's about believing that God is doing something wonderful because of the cross and the resurrection. God is doing something wonderful because He has given us His Spirit. God is doing something. And we got to see what the Spirit is doing in each of our hearts, in each of our lives. And let's celebrate. And Five Stones, let us be a people who would celebrate that every moment. That we will be a people who will believe once again that God is alive and doing something great, even when we are broken. Even when that is faith, right? Trusting through, even when we are going through dumps or going through rough times, we believe that there is a new creation. And we look to the big picture and we long for it and we pray for it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So today, as we look at the next slide here, we got to remember, it is all God's gifting, so we need to celebrate. You know, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Again, it says this is not your own doing, it is a gift. Amen, eh? Amen. It is a gift. God has given us this wonderful gift. Not a result of your works, so that no one can boast. Yeah. So we rejoice in what God has done, right? We rejoice, we look at it. It's a gift. And then, and Peter, who ought to know better, in Acts chapter 15, right? He already said that. He's like, God who knows the heart bore witness to those Gentiles, right? And giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us. He made no distinction between us and them and cleansed their hearts by faith, by God's faithfulness and God's honoring our participation in that when we believe in Him. And we will be saved through the grace of the Lord just as they will be saved. So here, remembering all that God has done. And then let's look at the next slide here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, which is what we are looking at. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Yeah, don't go back to the rules and all that kind of thing. What we are focusing on is what the Spirit is doing. And those who belong to Christ, Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions. So, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So that when we talk about keeping in step with the Spirit is what? It's keeping in step with what God is doing with the new creation. Yeah, this is where the Spirit is leading everybody to. This is where the Spirit is leading everybody towards a united one temple where we are all in that cosmic temple, joining together, Jew, Gentile, everybody, summing up all things in Jesus Christ. This is what the Spirit's work is the end game is. And we keep in step with that, believing that Jesus has won for us the victory through the cross and that we will have life eternal because of the resurrection. Because of that, we celebrate the fruit. We have all been given this. Now let us live out that reality. We believe, we trust. We will walk on what it means to be faithful to that vision. So church, what do? Party on, dudes, right? Party on. Life in the Spirit is supposed to be bouncing up and down in the joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all the great stuff. And that's why when Paul writes in the book of Galatians, that I'm so astonished, in Galatians chapter 1, I'm so astonished that you're turning to a different gospel. You're deserting Jesus already. Whoa! Why? Because you're turning to circumcision, of all things to look at. You know, like, so, what? Oh, yeah. Oh. God has gifted everybody His Spirit. So we need to get over all those small potatoes kind of stuff and see the big picture, what God is doing. So as we look at the next slide here, the body of Christ, there's one theologian who wrote this, the body of Christ as a whole with every part, with every Christian called to play his or her part, is to show the world and its rules that there is a different way to be human. The way of the Sermon on the Mount, the way of following Jesus in the power of the Spirit. I like that. I like that because this is what we're supposed to show off. We're supposed to be the city on a hill. We're supposed to be that light to the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, showing a different way to be real humans, made in the image of God, reflecting God, bringing the praises of God to God and bringing the praises of all creation back to God to reflect the praises of Him who loved us, who gave His life for us. That's what it's all about. And if we are there, we show the world and its rulers there is a different way to be really human, to be really humane, to be really human. The way of the Sermon on the Mount, the way of following Jesus in what? The power of the Holy Spirit, in the power. So, as we look at the next slide here, party time, right? We really need that party time, that new creation party time. We need to get God, get what He's doing. Keep in step with that. What's been gifted to us through the cross and through the resurrection to be restored as in the beginning when the heavens and earth is united. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, as a result of the fall, death came. But now, because of the cross and the resurrection, death is now reverse life. So if there's life, what do? Play dead? No. if there's life, what do? You go out, you take up the mat and you walk, right? You go and walk it out. You go and party on, dudes, right? You go and do that. And why? With the focus of what God is doing, new creation stuff. You know, this is new, this is fantastic, this is big picture. And so what else do? Being faithful to that, we as faithful followers, we pray. No wonder Jesus was saying, hey, you know, if you want to pray like I do, well, I'm gonna teach you. And what are the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? He said, okay, Father, hallowed be your name. And one of his first petitions is what? Your kingdom come. Your new creation. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The joining of earth and heaven. Right? The joining of earth. Your will be done on earth. Be done. So today, what else can we think about when you think about faithfulness? to persevere through the rough spot with a big picture in mind. And that is what Jesus did in Hebrews chapter 12. You know, he knew he had to go to the cross, but he saw ahead for the joy that was ahead of him. He did what? He suffered through the cross. And some of us need that little bit of encouragement in the spirit, right? Some of us are going through the rough spots. It's like, I don't have the energy to party on, right? I'm not there. And it's okay. Because that's what Jesus went through as well, right? Jesus went through before that ordeal on the cross. And I said, he wanted to get out of it. He was suffering through. He was going through a rough spot. But what did he pray? Not my will, but your will be done. And what is his will? New creation. It is new creation. He's looking forward for the joy that is ahead. He's looking forward. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Right? Let us fix our eyes on what he's doing and learn from him what it means to be faithful. And he was faithful even through the rough spots. And it was the roughest spot ever for him when he went just before going on the cross. Let your will, not my will, but your will be done. And he prayed. And I think we need to be a prayerful people as well. Pray through, persevere through the rough spots with the big picture in mind. So, homework for you folks. Read through Hebrews 11 to 12. Take note of there's some emphasis there of all the, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a hall of heroes of the faith being mentioned there. And guess what they have in common? Not one of them received what was promised. That was in chapter 11, verse 13 and 39. Read that. None of them received what was promised. Because what? If you read on in Hebrews, they're waiting for us to party on. They're waiting for us for the whole big picture of new creation, that they're waiting for us to come together in that whole cosmic temple where we will all join in the praise of God and party on with God forever and ever and ever. Yeah. So this is the homework for you. Go home, read Hebrews 11, 12. Look at what the call is here. To persevere when we when we don't feel like it, right? And it's okay when we don't feel like it. But man, if you're getting the big picture and you're saying, I get it now, party on, dudes. You know, like, really do. Like, clap your hands, sing for joy. No wonder the scriptures talk about all that, you know, clap your hands, all you people, all those things. It's because God wants us to really celebrate in his presence. So today, as we think through what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, I believe all these things, about faithfulness, being faithful to that vision of new creation, being faithful to pray, being faithful to persevere through, and being faithful to when we don't feel like it, like Jesus, right? When we feel like it, keep praying through, keep persevering through. So, church, I trust that you are encouraged. I trust that you are encouraged to keep in step with the Spirit. I trust that today you are strengthened to be faithful, to be divinely persuaded that there is a party coming and that we all get to be a part of it. Let's pray. Father God, help us in our times of struggle. When the big picture fades away, help us when we don't feel like it. And I thank you for the scriptures that remind us when we don't feel like it, when we can't even find the words to pray, your Spirit will pray for us. Your Spirit would do a work in us and will groan along with us even when we can't get the words out anymore. I thank you for Romans 8 that we are, that the Spirit works in our hearts, in our lives. And at the same time, leading us back to the big picture. God, you're doing something, and I believe and I trust. And I put all my 100% behind that vision of a new creation. So help us when to think about what it means to be human again, a different way to be human, to play our part, to show the world that we, as believers filled with the Holy Spirit, because of all that Jesus has done for us, because of all that Father did, you want to give to us, we have a different way to be human. We can show the world that we are disciples. So help us to be divinely persuaded once more, to get you, to keep in step with you. Help us no longer to be full of introspective, individualistic, just examination of, oh, did I follow that rule? Did I follow that law? Did I do this? Did I do that? And forgetting the big picture that God wants us to party with him. Help us to get what the cross and the resurrection is all about. It is not about just remaining in the grave, but there's a resurrection. There's life. But Jesus, you paid the price for our sins so that we can have that life. Help us to be restored with faith once again. And help us to have that shield of faith in our hearts and lives so that when the arrows do come, we are protected from faithlessness. So help us to persevere. Help us to, when things get messy, that we would keep the big picture in mind. And help this church to party on, even when we feel like we don't deserve it or don't think that we want to do it, that we would, by faith, practice the fruit of the Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just love the passion and excitement that Pastor Andrew brought this morning, just reminding us to celebrate being with each other and celebrate what God is doing. And we might not be able to relate to concerns about circumcision. That's not a thing that we're too worried about in the church these days. But obviously, there's lots of denominations out there, and there's lots of people who live out their faith in different ways. And as long as we all believe that Jesus is our Savior, that's what grounds us together as one church around the world. And I was just so encouraged thinking that when we come together and we're focusing on what ties us together as opposed to what is different, that we're able to support each other. You know, he spoke of maybe not feeling it, struggling, having struggles and having challenges and, you know, not feeling joyful and not feeling sometimes like praising and like you can really walk in faith with God. But that's what we're here for as a community together, is to lift each other up. And that joy that he shared this morning, it's infectious, right? We all feel it when he gets excited up here. We're all like, yeah, this, we should party. Like, this is great. And that is what we're here for as a community together. And that's how not only we can, or that's how we can stay together and walk together in this plan that God has for us. So just want to encourage you this morning. We're all here together as a family and as a community. And if you're having a hard time, if you're feeling just like you've got a struggle that you're dealing with, lean on the people around you, lean on your friends around you, and on the church family that you're a part of, because God has put you here for a reason. This is part of God's plan for your life, is to be here, even if it's just for today. And just be encouraged and allow others to encourage you and lift you up. And if you're strong and you're passionate and you got no worries in the world, look for people that you can infect with that joy, so that we can all do this together and be faithful together on the path that the Holy Spirit is guiding us on. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much this morning for this word. We just thank you for the excitement that we can have in all the things that you're doing in our own lives, but also all the things you're doing in Five Stones and all the things you're doing in your church around the world, Lord. And we just pray that you would activate all of this fruit in our lives, Lord, that you would show us how to live it out day to day, and that we would show people love, and we'd show people the joy of living with you, and that we would be salt and light the way that you have set us apart and the way that you have shown us to be, Lord. I just pray that everyone here this morning would just be so blessed by hearing this word and so encouraged, just knowing that there's joy, that you rose from the dead, you are no longer in the grave, that there is joy, and we can celebrate that. And we can celebrate with each other, and we can celebrate with you. So, Father, I just pray that that message would stay with us as we go into our week this week. And, Lord, we would just be blessed by your presence and by the joy that you give us, but also the celebration that we can have with those around us. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.